The Boys in the Band podcast is brought to you in partnership with Giddy Stratospheres, the fantastic independent film by Laura Jean Marsh, set in the heart of the noughties indie scene. It's a story of furiously loyal friendship and a love song to an incredibly special time for music and mayhem, all set to the soundtrack of the best noughties indie tunes.
A must-watch for any noughties indie fan. You can buy or rent the film on a host of platforms, including Amazon Prime, Sky Store, and iTunes. But as part of our partnership with Giddy Stratospheres, we're delighted to be able to offer listeners to the Boys in the Band podcast an exclusive 20% discount to rent the film via Vimeo On Demand. Just follow the link in the podcast notes or post it on our social media and enter the promo code Boys in the Band at checkout. And you'll be able to stream the film for as little as £3.59.
A terrific deal that's an absolute must for listeners to this podcast. This fantastic offer is available in the UK and Ireland only at the moment and runs until 10th of September. So go check it out. Giddy Stratospheres, a film about loss and love in the storm of guitars and broken glass that was the noughties UK indie music scene.
Hello and thanks for joining us on another episode of My Naughties Number One, a bonus edition of Boys in the Band podcast. I'm Richie Gallagher. How's it going, Pete?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Rich. Yeah, sort of enjoying all the feedback, the positive feedback we've had to Saturday's show with the Cooper Temple Clause. It was, we really enjoyed chatting to those guys, didn't we? But it was fantastic to see this outpouring of love for that band across our social media. And it's just really nice when the podcast hits home like that with fans and they can all sort of reminisce about the good old days with a band. At the end of that chat, though, we grabbed them for a few more minutes to pick out their My Naughties Number One, as you say, Rich. And, well, here's what they chose. First up, we've got Kieran and then Ben.
Thinking back at this, I had to do a bit of research because my mum, as we know from this interview, my memory is hazy. But I think there are some key records. We talked about Constellation and all the post-rock stuff. I loved listening to Oceanside's first record, FRS. That was a big favourite of mine. I don't think that's top. I'm building up to the number one. Boards of Canada, Music Has the Right to Children. That was also on my Discman non-stop to destinations. But I think I'm a big fan of Turn on the Bright Lights by Interpol. I'm gonna go with that one, particularly for the opening track, Untitled, which just sets a great tone and makes me want to live in New York. So I'm going with that.
Yes, felt like that was always an influential album, I guess, on a lot of bands around that time as well. A great album in its own right, but it feels like a lot of artists would point to that one as well as an important album of that era.
Definitely. And watching them live on tour as well was, just the relationship before. I didn't get them live until I really listened to their records. And I love that sort of relationship between listening to something later and then realizing what a band they're about. And seeing them DJ, that was good as well. The bass player had some good sort of leather equipment, wearing leather fashion. Leather.
I mean, that we're going to see you on, Kieran? Something that we can look forward to? Is that something you're promising the listeners to see?
Me wearing leather?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Bring back the handlebar.
Won't be able to pull it off like he did. They had a strong aesthetic. Yeah.
So the reason I said between 2000 and 2010, because I was thinking about this, and I'd probably say The Suburbs by Arcade Fire, which is 2010. So I don't know if that's allowed. But that's kind of very evocative and powerful for me, because it was a few years after the band broke up and started to discover sort of myself and who I wanted to be and sort of grappling with everything that had been before and everything that was happening to me at that time when I was sort of studying and thinking about doing the masters and sort of, I guess, shedding my skin. And that record just, incredibly powerful. I was a big fan of the first record as well. And just, a great band. So, sort of quite definitely a record that was very close to my wife and my heart as well. So I'd go Arcade Fire.
Yeah, so Suburbs, that was their third record, wasn't it? Neon Bible before that, and Funeral was their debut, which obviously really catapulted to them. But what?
Yes, yeah, it was.
What was it about Suburbs that would tip you towards that one as opposed to the debut or the second one?
I think it's probably, for me, like most music, it's also a signpost of the time and who you were, and you know, those moments charted across your life where a record just seems to sum up how you're feeling in a way that you can't convey through your own words or actions, and it just seems to have a something about it that just really connected with my psyche at the time. I love the first record, absolutely love the first record. But yeah, the Suburbs, I think for me is just, yeah, I think it's probably, I was sort of being comfortable about, I was no longer Ben from the Cube Temple Claws. I was sort of Ben Courtry in my own right, and you know, just sort of forging a new direction, which was slightly worrying and scary, but also exciting as well. That wasn't sort of defined by who I was 5 or 10 years ago, and it could go off in any direction I wanted to. So yeah, I think that record gave me a lot of strength.
Yeah, and this is, I think the big track off there was Ready to Start, and you were ready to start your new career.
Oh, he's been yeah, doing this for a while, hasn't he?
The segue. I'd like to have a bit more time on this question next time we do this, because it's so difficult, isn't it? Because also Kid A was a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, do you want to go again?
I don't know. In a way, I'm not sure if I've got it right, but you know, let's just say this was the answer now. If you ask me, yeah, in a couple of weeks, probably changed my mind. But that's the beauty of that decade, wasn't it? It was a good decade.
Yeah, yeah, that's to choose from, definitely.
You're going to stand up and walk off then.
What are yours? what are yours, Peter and Richard? Have you got? Can you share? Can you divulge?
Well, yeah, we've not done an episode yet, have we? Where we've revealed
long
ours.
Debates we've had on ours, haven't we?
I think you make a good point, Ben, in terms of like it's not so much just how good that album was; it's about where you were at that time and sort of what it meant for you. So I think like the Libertines debut, it might not be musically the best album of that era, but I think just for sort of setting the scene for us, and you know, just such fond memories of going to see them live and stuff like that. I think you just have that connection to that album like that for that reason.
Yeah, that definitely had an energy. I remember meeting Carl in a bar before their first record had come out, and then we went back to his flat. He said, I'll come back, because we were in London, and said, I'll come back to my flat. And then Pete was upstairs, and then Pete heard that there's someone downstairs, so he had to come downstairs and try to entertain and show off that he was, you know, wanted to kind of get one up on Carl. That, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, this is not normal behavior that I'm used to in terms of this sort of brinkmanship between two people, but it was the essence of who they were and what made them so powerful, and also that energy they had. You know, they would just always had it, and we'd see them on some at festivals as well, and they just had such an energy, and then the fans had such an energy as well. You know, it was really something fresh and really something exciting. So yeah, definitely a great choice.
Yeah, about so you, Rich, come on, time to name it.
It's so hard. I think, like you, Kieran, you asked me today, it'd be different to what I'd answer in a couple of months' time or whatever. But yeah, so many to choose from. I think, like I say, it's the ones that sort of stuck out for me as being different and just really sort of caught my attention. Like, there were so many bands around that time that were clearly influenced by loads of guitar bands that had gone before, that you kind of hear that influence flowing through. But for me, the two albums that spring to mind, I just thought this is unlike anything previous, were Colour It In by the Maccabees and Panic Prevention by Jamie T. Those two sort of that decade sort of really grabbed my attention. They were so unique and yeah, still records that I just will happily listen to all day, every day still.
Definitely.
Yeah, the Maccabees. I think I went to go and see their last show at Brixton. You know, they were such an underrated band. I mean, obviously not underrated by those who followed them, but they should have been, I think they should have been bigger. I don't know why the dots didn't quite connect, but great band. And then really like some of the stuff that Orlando Weeks has done by himself. And then, you know, he also did the like kind of animation, didn't he? That comic book as well. So
yeah.
I think has he got a new record coming out? I've seen a bit of press around him recently, so I presume he must have or something.
Yeah, I believe he's been ready to release a second record sort of since lockdown began, basically. So yeah, hopefully that's coming out soon.
Yeah, but yeah, we're chatting to Felix tomorrow morning, funny enough. So yeah, we've got him on the podcast tomorrow.
Oh, is Felix the cricket enthusiast?
He is, yeah.
Yeah,
he's done great for himself. Brought cricket to the public eye, which is actually one of the first things that we did when the ban broke up, was that Fish and me went on a cricket tour. I don't think you could make it, could you? And we got together 11 of us and just went down to Somerset and did a mini cricket tour, a lot of fun, because Fish was unbelievable at cricket.
And at the age county 60, cricketer, yeah.
Yeah, right. At the age of sort of 17, he had to pick the band or cricket. He picked the band, which is, some would say, might have been the wrong decision. But big Maccabees fan, brilliant band.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, guys, well, we're going to talk about cricket over a pint at some point then.
Definitely.
Look forward to it.
Cool.
Don't bring up Kieran's average.
Bowling or batting?
Both.
So we have it. Two good albums in my books. Turn on the Bright Lights by Interpol was Kieran's choice, and Ben Settled on the Suburbs by Arcade Fire, which I think will just about allow him to have 2010 just about sneaks in, Rich.
Yeah, just about. But yeah, both interesting choices. We've had both bands mentioned on the podcast over the time we've been doing it, and Interpol's definitely one that, as you mentioned, was really influential. And Arcade Fire too, you know, huge band of that era. But yeah, I wasn't necessarily expecting Ben to pick out their third record. That's definitely, as with a lot of these bands, for me, the debut is always the one that sort of sticks in my memory most. Mm-hmm. But Suburbs are a really good album, and as you mentioned, it was a real signpost of where he was at the time, stepping away from the band and ready to start his new chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And well, yeah, they sort of caught us on the spot a little bit, didn't they, when they asked us what ours were. And I think we've sort of been mulling over whether we should do a episode where we sort of talk through our own albums previously. And that was the first one that came to mind for me, the Libertines debut, Up the Bracket. And I think I was just sort of just bought into what Ben was saying about, you know, sort of you just picture yourself back in that moment, in that time, and that's probably the album I sort of most relate to listening to for that period. And I was just thinking, actually, while I was listening to it back, that you obviously picked out Colour It In and Panic Prevention as well by Jamie T. So we've spoken to Gary from the Libertines, and we're about Up the Bracket. We've spoken to Felix about Colour It In. And we just need to nail down Jamie T.
Yeah, we do indeed. Hopefully that one may well come to fruition at some point, but he's one we're trying to tie down. We'll see if we can do. But I think I definitely completely agreed with what Kieran said as well. There are so many brilliant albums of that era that, you know, from week to week, month to month, year to year, your favourites almost alter now and again. And those two would definitely always be up there for me. But obviously Colour In was probably fresh in my mind, having been ready to chat to Felix the following day. Jamie T's album, I absolutely love that. It was an interesting crossover actually towards the end of the chat as well, when we mentioned that and Felix and the cricket crossover. We had no idea that Fish was into his cricket, and having to make that bold decision at the age of 17 to pick music or cricket. We've had a few like that, haven't we? Who was the footballer, Pete? Was it Glas Vegas?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah. But sort of, these probably the annoying kids at school, aren't they, who are probably good at everything. And it's like, yeah, he's really good at football. Actually, he's really good at music. Yeah, he's in a band. God, that guy. Yeah, interesting career path. Sort of that sliding doors moment when you decide that rather than play county cricket, you want to go and join the Cooper Temple Claws. So there we go. That's where it leads to. But we've got more stories from the world of noughties indie coming up this Saturday. We've got another cool band lined up for you and telling us their story. So we're looking forward to sharing that one with you. But as ever, and as you have done with the Cooper Temple Claws, yeah, just jump on our socials and share your memories of those bands with us, because we'd love to hear it. And I think the bands love to as well. I saw Ben and Kieran were sort of joining in a bit on the social media chat via their Type 2 Error profiles. So these bands love to hear a bit of feedback as well about from the fans that they probably haven't heard from for sort of 10, 15 years. So, nice touch.
Yeah, big time. It's so good. I mean, we obviously absolutely love chatting to these bands and putting this podcast out, but actually seeing the interaction on social media you know, realizing, you know, how much love there is for some of these artists out there, and it really does shine through the comments and stuff. So yeah, great for us to see that, great for the bands themselves to see it as well. You know, the Cooper Temple Claws prior to the podcast didn't have an Instagram page, and now they do. So, you know, maybe they were inspired just by getting involved in social media and interacting with their fans again and reminiscing about, you know, really special times. So, yeah, keep the comments coming. Let us know what you think. It was great from the UK Sound Advice page as well to get that debate going about the best Cooper Temple Claws song out there. And, lots of fine debate on that.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't. No one could seem to decide on the favourite, could they? Even the original shortlist of four or five songs was quickly being expanded, I think, by all the people different commenting. But yeah, good stuff. Okay, well, we'll see you on Saturday, guys.
Yep, till then. Cheers.